You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Before Em reads our passage today, just a little bit of background on Mark 12. This is one that you're going to be very familiar with, and I just wanted to remind you that when Jesus is asked by people, and most of the time the Pharisees and others that are trying to catch him in things and trying to trip him up, he always goes back to stuff that people are familiar with. So he's actually going back and quoting from Hebrew Scripture and bringing it into today. He's quoting the Shema, which all good Jews would say every morning. And so it's not like he's presenting something that is brand new. He's saying, you know, if you guys would just take seriously what we're on about as Jews, that would be a really good start. And secondly, note that he doesn't say anything in here about what to believe. He doesn't say you have to believe in me, you have to believe this, you have to believe the other thing. He says, this is what you need to do. And so pay attention to these subtle little differences that are not very small at all. They make a huge difference in the way I look at what Jesus asked to do, and I think it'll make a difference in what how you interpret it as well. So, Em, thanks.
Mark 12, 28 through 31, a reading from the Message. One of the religion scholars came up, hearing the lively exchanges of a question and answer and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers. He put in his question, which is most important of all the commandments? Jesus said, the first in importance is, listen, Israel. The Lord your God is one, so love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, we're thankful for these words of wisdom that come to us from so long ago. May they make their way into the deepest parts of who we are, so that each in our own way might be on about loving our neighbors, loving ourselves, and making a difference in the world that shows our love of God. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. Well, first off, let me share with you something we got from the city of San Diego, and that is a special commendation. Dun, 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 dun. So let me read this to you. Look at this from the city of San Diego, state of California. Dear the Fountains, UMC, thank you for your hard work and dedication in the City Heights neighborhood over the summer. By clearing new trails, removing invasive plants, doing home repairs, and so much more, you improved the public safety of this very diverse neighborhood. Your hard work has brought positive change to this community. On behalf of the grateful residents of City Heights, thank you for the changes you made to this great community. Please accept the enclosed certificate as an appreciation for all your hard work. Best regards, Marty Emerald, Council President, District 9, City of San Diego. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So good job, y'all. And by way of getting you each to come on up here so that we can hear a few words from you about the trip, we're going to do what we've done now for the last couple of years, which is present to you an article of equipment for you to take on your next trip. So we'd love for you to put it on, too. Oh, you know what? These are tied up. Do we have a pair of scissors that we can...
I can get one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I thought these, we'd just be able to put them right on you. All right. So in the meantime, Lucas. Excellent. Here we go. Are you ready? Yeah. There we go.
Great.
Go right on up there and have a seat. There we go. All right. This is like, you know, receiving a medal. I'll let you figure out how to put it on. Everett Paul, thank you. Tiger. Okay, there you go. Yeah, Nathaniel David. All right, there you go. Emily. Yes, it's a wonderful medal. Who else do we have here? Anybody else that was on the trip?
Denise Rajeski.
Oh, more. Do you know what it takes to be an adult on one of these trips?
It's a swag.
Denise, there you are. Thank you so much.
And David.
And me too. Yay! Okay. So, the people that we're missing are Jordan and Connor Wadinski, Marissa Diamond, who's in New York,
David Reagan,
and Kinley Reagan. All right? Excellent. You guys got that all together? Oh, and Bruce Ferguson. Yeah. Oh, look. See? Navy know-how right there. All right. Excellent. Oh, yeah, you could do it on whatever. All right. Well, some of the highlights that we had on the trip is that each one of the kids arrived and we were put into separate groups. So there were very few of us that were in the same group as what we came with from the fountain. So we all went to do different things. And I'm just going to ask them to say just in a few sentences one of the things that they're going to remember most about the trip. So let's start with Tiger, and then we'll go down and come back to Denise. So,
One of the things I'm going to remember is building a fence and being buried in sand.
Hey, one of the things that I'll probably remember most are the friendships that I made, actually. This year was probably my favorite SSP thus far, because the people who went on the trip were absolutely amazing, like just absolutely fantastic. And the energy was really good, and it was just really warm and welcoming all around. So I'll probably remember the friendships the most.
What I'll probably remember the most is where we stayed, because it was a very, very nice church, and the food we had every night and morning was pretty A-okay. The lunches, though, those, I had to make those, peanut butter and jelly, and that... smashed bread, and then we had fruit, but we didn't have anything to keep the fruit in, so it was just at the bottom of a bag with big jars of jelly and peanut butter on top of it, so they got crushed, and then one day the jelly opened, and it got all over me and in the bag, and it got in my iPod, and all kinds of things went wrong, but it was
memorable.
One of the few things I'll remember about SSP is the people.
Wow, you got that.
One of the few things that I will remember is that we had way too many people in our group for a small activity. We had to demolish a fence, and that was about it for like two straight days. We had nothing else to do except run towards the ice cream truck when it came.
I wish I could do that.
I know, it was actually really good. We weren't allowed to purchase ice cream, but that rule never seems to actually apply. So,
did people purchase ice cream?
Yes.
How many people?
All of them.
I'm not listening.
Well, I think, like Emily said, it was the people that I met and getting to know, you know, a great group of kids. The ones up here, as well as the ones that came from the other churches. you know, it seemed like the ones that were the most challenging in the beginning kind of really made the biggest impact. And, you know, I made some lasting friendships as well. So I would definitely encourage anyone else to do this trip.
Great. Yeah, I want to just say I remember the trip to Mexico. The Wednesday that we were there, they had arranged with the Salvation Army to pick us up just on the Sonora side, or not Sonora, what is it?
American side?
No, on the Mexican side. What's the state there?
Tijuana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They picked us up in Tijuana.
Right. I can't remember the name of what the state is. So, so we drove down there, and for me, there were a half a dozen adults and 35 or 40 kids that didn't, most of whom didn't belong to us, that we took into a foreign country. Of course, when we got there, the Salvation Army sent two 15-passenger vans for 40-plus people. And so no seat belts or anything like that. So it was quite an experience driving through Tijuana. You could tell immediately that this was not the United States. And we went to a couple of different shelters, and I think that left a big impression on a lot of the kids. I know it did for me. We met three of the United Methodist missionaries that were there working with the Salvation Army, and all of the people that are being deported end up in Tijuana. Many of them have been living in the United States for maybe their, you know, virtually their whole adult life and don't even speak Spanish very well, but they will get deported back to Mexico and have to be re-entered into society. And so we learned a lot, and we got some names and faces put with situations that you read about all the time in the news. So that's one of the things that's really going to stick with me. But also just the amazing adults that were part of it and SSP as a whole. This is a great organization that's a Methodist born and bred organization that really takes good care of the whole situation, good care of the kids, and I think that it's something that makes me really proud to be a United Methodist. So, thank you. You want to say something, board member of SSP?
Yeah. Okay.
For those of you that don't know, Emily applied for and was accepted as a board member for Sierra Service Project. So she's serving in that capacity for the next year or so. So,
thanks, guys. So, being a board member, you get to see everything, basically. Like, all the money and all the hard work and a lot of the strenuous thought and emails. And I do board calls, which I didn't know was a thing. But, like, since we all don't live within each other, right? Like, we have to sit on the phone for, like, 2 hours talking about the next great adventure that we're going to take as an organization, which is really cool. But anyways, what I was going to say is that we have a newsletter, and I only have 10, so they're pretty nifty, and I need to give 10 of them away. So if you want to know more about them, they're in the back, and I got published in it. So there's a little article by me in it, which I guess is kind of cool. And lots of pictures from the trip, and it just gives you more information if you want to be more involved. So you can find those on the little snack table back there. Yeah, okay.
Thanks. Well, let's hear it for these youth who represent us so well. You guys can have a seat. And I'd like to invite Mark Culbertson to come on up. Mark is our new youth coordinator along with his wife, Melanie. Melanie, you want to say hey? And there you go. And we just wanted to do a minute of interviews. So
David, I'd like to know what your favorite type of food is.
Oh, boy. Well, you mean the kind of food that I take new staff members to eat even though they don't like it?
the kind that make me nauseous when I get home and have trouble sleeping that night.
That would afterwards. Be sushi, Mark.
Yeah, that was sushi. Yeah, that was. Didn't do so well here.
Oh.
And really not so well here either in this area. Oh. Didn't do well here.
Yeah.
Kind of the whole, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you'd bring up raw fish, considering that most people don't know about your adventure in Alaska. Maybe you could tell some people about summer. How was that for a segue?
Let me throw the softball for you. That was awesome. Hit it out of the park. Yeah, so years ago I worked in Alaska in a fish cannery in Ketchikan, Alaska. So for some reason I thought it would be a good idea. So I packed my tent in a backpack, took a Greyhound bus for 3 days to Prince Rupert, Canada from Phoenix, which in and of itself is a book about all the people that I got to sit next to. And then caught a ferry from Prince Rupert to Ketchikan. Didn't have a job, so I just went to, there was two fish canneries in Ketchikan, and found one that would hire me, and I pitched my tent out in the middle of the woods and walked about 2 miles every day into work. I did not know at the time that Ketchikan has the highest rainfall per capita in the United States. So my poor tent, after a couple of weeks, could not hold out the water anymore. So I would come back. I worked at the night shift. I would come back and crawl into a wet sleeping bag and try to sleep for a few hours. So that was lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do this?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Yeah. It's a great question, Everett.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your canning experience when you were there. What were you?
Well, so I really didn't can. For the most part, so I worked the night crew, which was mainly cleaning. Every once in a while, we would get a ship that would come in at night, which we'd have to unload, which is really cool. They call it pitching. You have to jump in the hole that has all the salmon. Which is about as
you jump into
you
the
jump
hole.
Into it, which is about as big as if we sealed this off where this rafter is, like about that size. And they would lower a little dinghy into it, and you would literally pitch the salmon into the dinghy. And so by the time
you're
done,
waist deep, or
oh, you're yeah. By the time you're done, you're covered in fish slime and and salmon. Some of the like the king salmon are huge, so they're you know massive, and so they're falling off and knocking you out when they land on your head. If you missed the dinghy. So that was fun. But one night I was telling David, probably the boringest job. In fact, I called years ago on a radio show.
Well, I just want to say before you go on with that, I just want to say that this story about being neck deep in slimy salmon, how this prepares you for youth ministry. I mean, there's nothing that they can throw at
that's
you.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, you are ready. You're ready. So, but go ahead with the eggs.
I actually called on a radio station once because they were having people call in on their boringest job that they had ever done. And so I called in and it was KTAR years ago and shared the story because one night they needed help at a different plant. And so I went over to this plant and their job, in the salmon industry, salmon eggs are where they make their most money because they sell them overseas, where they're delicacies. And so I had to stand, and if you can just in your mind picture the Laverne and Laverne and Shirley canning slide where they would stand there. I had to stand with tweezers for 12 hours as they packed jars of salmon eggs. Mine was the very last, next to the last station. So they wanted the eggs on top to look really nice. So I had to stand there, and if there was any broken sacks on top, I had to pick the broken sack out and dispose of it and then push it to the person that would then put the lid on it for 12 hours. So that was, yeah. Lovely.
Again, prepared this background ministry, is see? Perfect for youth ministry. So this inspired you then to become a Nazarene pastor.
Become a Nazarene pastor after that. I thought there can't be anything worse.
So tell us a little bit about your background as a Nazarene pastor and how you came to be here.
Oh, wow. Time is the service over?
Yeah.
So years ago, I was a full-time youth pastor in a Nazarene church, became ordained elder, and had some bad Chinese food one night, and decided to become a senior pastor. At the time, I thought it was God, and then I realized later it was just
indigestion.
Indigestion, which the two of those get mistaken quite a bit.
I can relate. Yeah.
So, learned my lesson after Mexican to never make any decisions, life-changing decisions after eating Mexican because you'd be confused. But so became a senior pastor for a few years, was probably one of the worst senior pastors in America, for 3 years.
And how do you define that, just so I can know?
You want to know if you're on that track.
Yeah, I want to know.
There's markers that you can look for, yeah. I have story after story for those 3 years, we could tell you. So left pastoring and got into teaching. And I know that's a logical transition. Was teaching, got involved volunteering at a church, a part-time youth pastor at a church where I was a teacher, and we thought, I was never going to get back into ministry again, but got involved at a church and then moved up here, or to Scottsdale, and was working in Maricopa at the time. So if you know where Maricopa is.
To Maricopa.
Yeah, commuting from Scottsdale to Maricopa as a teacher, but plus the church we were working at was down there. So. And then the church, grew the youth group to a size where we just couldn't do it anymore. And so, took some time off. And then, my favorite story is that we were looking, we left, part of the reason we left pastoring, besides just being terrible as a senior pastor, was, kind of changing theologically, some of our beliefs. And that was a really, tough spot to do that in. And so that was part of what we were wrestling with when we left. And so continuing that journey as a youth pastor, a part-time youth pastor, and then through that time, one Sunday I opened up the newspaper and read an article about this book called Living the Questions and these two pastors that had written a book. And I remember reading it and thinking, wow, I would really like to find a church that did that. It would be great to have a study with this book called Living the Questions. And a couple days later, so I read that and just put it on my mind. A couple days later, saw an ad somewhere, I don't remember where I was looking, for a church that was looking for a children/family pastor. And so read their description and thought, well, that sounds interesting. So I contacted Jeff Proctor Murphy, and we went out for coffee, and Penny Davis and Pastor Jeff. And as we're talking, it dawned on me that he was one of the pastors that had written this book and said, oh, wait a minute, I just read about you. So we ended up being there for a while until the blessing of the Methodist Church, they moved a pastor. New pastor, it didn't work out, so we moved to a different church. Was working there the last year and that was just a train wreck. Melanie, we were talking that we needed a change, and we had met Pastor David at Chompy's when we were at. We'd had a staff meeting with Jeff over something at Chompy's, and they were there doing an interview. And so
with Todd Elwood.
With Todd Eldridge, yes. Yeah. He told me that. So they had met David. And then when we were looking to make a transition, we were talking about it, and Melanie, I don't know where you found it. Melanie said, you're not going to believe it, but David Felton's hiring for a youth pastor. He said, what?
Yes.
So here we are.
There you are. Yay. So you're now serving as a principal at an elementary school.
Serving is a good, it makes it sound like a term in prison.
You're serving, yes, how many
serving
years?
How many years in prison? Yeah, for, yes. Yes, elementary school principal up in Cape Creek.
And working on a PhD, and this is really good.
Yeah.
Because we need this. Your PhD is in?
Organizational leadership.
So for so many reasons, we are so glad to have Mark here.
I have to say that when Dee Dee found out, I've never seen somebody's eyes light up like I did when I saw Dee Dee's eyes. Dee Dee said, I know what you can do for your thesis. You could figure out how to organize us.
So without further ado, it's not quite a gavel, but this is a hammer from SSP 2014, and I would like to pass the gavel to Mark and Melanie as our youth coordinators at the Fountains.
Wow. Thank
so
you.
There you are. Congratulations.
Well, I am really looking forward to our next SSP trip. I've never been on one, but mission trips is one of my passions with students over the years. And so I'm looking forward not only going with our students on the next one, but not being in charge of it. So usually I've had to plan
That's
them
right.
and
yeah.
organize all of them. And yeah. so just going with a group, I'm looking forward to. But yeah,
Mark and Melanie, you guys, let's welcome them. Grab that mic. All right. Mark and Melanie will be available to answer all of your questions about fish canning and whatever else after the service. But we'd like to finish up with a litany for the change of the year. And so some of the kids are going to help lead this. So, all right. Well, let's have some litany music and away we go.
Let us remember and celebrate 2015.
Yeah, well, let me end there.
We light this candle remembering all who were baptized or who experienced significant spiritual growth in our congregation this past year.
May this light be a symbol of the light of Christ being passed on to the future generation and with new understanding.
We light the second candle remembering all those who have experienced grief and loss in 2015, the death of a loved one, the ending of a significant relationship, the loss of employment.
May this light be a symbol of
We light this third candle with gratitude for all those who have shared in the ministry and mission of the Fountains, servant leaders, lay preachers, musicians and singers, those who have offered pastoral care or reminded us in our wider community, those who visited hospitals and nursing homes, cooked meals or offered transport, those who cared for our facilities and grounds, who folded mailings and worship guides, who gave directions to visitors and made others feel welcome.
This fourth candle, remembering all those who have visited our congregation this year, for all who in 2015 decided to call our fellowship their spiritual home.
I got it. put that down on the paper. We light this fifth candle mindful of those who have called us to risk the ways of Jesus, to create an inclusive, safe, open, and honest community for all.
Light the sixth candle, having each and every one of us in mind, bearing with other in strengths and weaknesses, anxieties and hopes.
We light this seventh candle to remind us of the vast, beautiful, troubled, delicious, extravagant, unjust, joyful, dangerous, complex, simple, confusing, sweet, yucky, unfair, generous, unbearable, beautiful, painful, mysterious creation of which we are a part.
Light this eighth candle as a symbol of the peace of God here in our midst.
Thanks be to God. Light this final candle, a candle of gratitude for all these young people and for the promise that they hold. Wherever their lives take them, we will be keeping you in our thoughts and our prayers and send you with our blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, for this time together this day, we are truly grateful. To remember, to get to know one another, to celebrate, to look back and to look ahead. In all of it, may we be reminded of your Spirit's presence with us in the past, in the future, and especially here and now, for which we are truly grateful. We gather and we pray as followers of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.